Target, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
You're listening to Dig It. Hester McDonald joins me in the studio to answer your questions this morning. Hester, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about compost.
Black gold.
Black gold.
It's Texas tea. No, something along those lines.
Okay, so compost. I mean, composting, is it difficult?
No. It's really, really not. And it's quite easy, I think, to get really caught up, particularly if you read about it or you read a blog or something, and it seems really it's really, really, really not complicated.
No, we can get kind of into the swing of it, and it can become part of just the daily things that we need to sort of clean up.
Yeah.
So if you've never composted before, what are the benefits and where do you begin?
So I would say there's some really straightforward benefits. One is it reduces your household waste. And in lots of places, particularly in Switzerland, you have to pay for bags to put your household waste in. And the less volume you are just chucking into your household waste and thus paying £2 a bag for, the better. Also, obviously, it sends less to landfill.
Yeah.
Or to be burnt.
Yeah.
The other advantage is that you can get to use this wonderful black gold, the compost, afterwards. Or you can have it like on this very short circuit. So if you're lucky enough to have a green bin in your commune, which lots of people do, you just put all of your compostable stuff in there. It gets picked up centrally and gets composted. And sometimes you get it back for free. Awesome.
That's really good.
Yeah.
You can use the compost, I presume, on indoor and outdoor plants.
You can, as long as it's well sieved and you're sure it's got no weed seeds in it.
Otherwise, you get some surprise plants.
Yes, you could get tomatoes like I did one year.
No.
Yeah.
Well, on a pot plant indoors.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, that's actually kind of a bonus. Are weeds really weeds? Are they just surprise plants?
They are surprise plants.
Okay, so the easiest option is using a green bin if provided by the commune.
If you're lucky to have one. Do you know some of them are horse-drawn? They essentially collect green bins on a horse-drawn carriage.
I did not know that.
Isn't that ace? And they collect the horse poo as they go and just chuck it on. Isn't that great?
Just as part of it.
Yeah.
Throw it in.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're not lucky enough, or perhaps you make so much waste that it's you overflowing with that little green bin, then what's kind of the next option?
A straightforward kit, and there are loads of them. So now, some communes give them away for free, particularly in Francoisine. Actually, there a lot of the French communes will give you a free compost bin,
right?
And they're just simple slatted bins, plastic, wood, you can get them in metal, you can get them in lots of different things, or wire mesh. And the easiest ones are ones that you literally open the lid, chuck the stuff in, shut lid.
Yeah.
The next easiest ones, I think, are ones that have a front that removes, which means that you can turn it easily.
Okay.
But, you know, they're about 40 francs from Migro, Co-op, Shillaga, anywhere. Or you can build them yourself out of pallets and zip ties. They're dead easy.
And what are you sort of looking at in terms of turnover? So I throw in my carrot peel.
Yeah.
I don't peel my carrots, I just wash my carrots.
Just eat them.
I throw in my mango peel.
Okay, mango peel's a really good one because you definitely don't eat that.
Definitely.
Or, yeah.
So I'm throwing that in. When can I expect to be getting some usable compost out of that?
It depends how hot your tip is, actually.
Okay.
So if it's quite hot and you're managing it and you're not having any issues, which we'll come on to in a bit, something like that, probably a year, because it's not very woody and it burns up quite quickly. It turns into usable compost, unrecognisable, is what you want it to be, in about a year.
What about, what kind of, in order to make a decision on if I want to start composting and I haven't got round to it, I do actually have a composter at home, but if I haven't already started, what sort of things it would affect my decision onto what kind of composting I should do? Because we're going to talk about lots of different ways
to compost. Say space is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have a garden? Do you have a corner of your garden that's not going to annoy your neighbours where you can dump your compost into it?
Yep.
If you live in a flat, then that's a whole different set of questions.
Requirements.
Yeah, really. How much time do you have?
Yeah.
As well. If you're quite time poor, then maybe one of the other systems rather than a big system that you then need to turn every so often might be a better choice for you.
Yep.
Or, you know, is it going to be an educational tool for yourself and your kids, in which case then maybe get some outside help.
It's an activity.
It's an activity, yeah.
Does it matter about what you're intending to put in there, or do they all take the same stuff?
I would say that if you are just going to, you know, mango peel and the bottoms of bits of broccoli and some leaves and some grass clippings, they all more or less take the same thing. Some things can deal with other things like bones or fish bones better. I would say putting fish bones or bones or cooked food in an outside heap is probably a bad idea because it will attract vermin. There are other systems that can deal with that kind of thing much, much better.
Stay tuned. We'll be going through some of the classic problems that people may encounter and how to get past them. Stay tuned. Hester will be here. If you've got any questions, you can send them in studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre. Let your inspiration grow.
It's time to look at the most common problems that can arise if you are composting. So, Hester, is it as simple as lobbing your veggie peel into a bin somewhere? And if not, what can we do about it when things go a little bit weird?
Yeah, I mean, the common problems are really common. The first one is it's too wet. It's too wet. And so it goes black and it stinks. And your neighbours will complain, I would say, generally. Yes.
Okay, so what can you do if you get very stinky compost?
Dry it out. Right. So the easiest way to do it is dig it, is just pull it all out. Literally lift the, if you've got a box, lift the box off and let it dry out. It should take a week or so if it's really, 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 really wet.
Mm-hmm.
I would say when you're then planning your compost a little bit, try to mix green ingredients, which these very nitrogenous, like, you know, like our mango peel or grass clippings or anything else like that, with brown ingredients, which are the carbon rich ones, things like tree branches, that kind of stuff, paper, cardboard. If it's still really soggy or it keeps happening, keep some sawdust or torn up cardboard or more brown ingredients kind of to hand, and they will really help to dry it out quite quickly.
What about if it's the opposite, if it's too dry?
This is actually, I'd say this is more common, I think, because it's very easy, particularly if you have an open-sided bin, a really big open-sided bin, the moisture just disappears out the side. And what you'll notice is it stops composting.
Mm.
Or it may not have composted at all. You may look in it and a year later it all looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens quite a lot. So I would say add more green.
Yeah.
So that's more grass clippings, that kind of thing. Cover it. Water it a lot and cover it.
And it should get going again.
And it will absolutely get going again. You might need to turn it, or you may need to think about a system that lets you turn it more easily.
What about insects, worms?
You do get that quite often, I'd say, at the start of a heap when it's not really started itself off yet. It's really not a problem. It usually means that it's working, particularly worms. Worms are great in compost heaps.
Mm. In fact, there are actual just composters that are built with worms.
There are.
That they are the goal of composting, to make them happy.
Absolutely wiggly wigglers. They're absolutely fantastic. And if you would like to do one of those, we'll talk about them in a bit. They're very easy, actually, worm composters. They're fab.
Great. I've seen some really old heaps with sort of grass or other plants like that just start growing on the top. What can you do if it starts to actually grow a plant?
Well, it could be either that, which is what happened to me, your compost hasn't been quite hot enough, it hasn't killed off any seeds, hence my surprise tomato plant. Or it could be that it's just ready. It's ready to go and it's started growing stuff because seeds have blown in. In which case, dig it out and have a look. If it looks black and crumbly and looks like you might want to eat it, don't. But you might want to eat it, then it's good to go.
We have looked at the very basic of composting. This is kind of the palette idea. But what if you want to get a little bit more into it, or you are looking at some of the other methods that are out there? Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
So I'd say the next easiest is probably a hot bin.
Ooh.
So hot bin, they won an award at Chelsea about 3 years ago. And it's a kind of double insulated, very, very hot container system. Now, you do have to manage it a bit, as in you need to put in the additional materials that go in. You need to be able to turn it. There's a special tool to turn it so you don't damage the insides. But it's quick. It's weeks rather than months or years to produce it. And if speed is of the essence, or you don't have a lot of space, then that is brilliant. So I'd look at hotbin.ch for that. Another option might be to turn it more often. There are compost tumblers to do exactly that. And it's kind of usually a spherical bin off the ground on feet with a handle that you just turn it. And that does help to speed things up as well. It won't be as hot as a hot bin, but it will be better mixed together and we'll go quicker for that. We talked briefly about worm bins. I love worm bins. Some people really don't like them because they don't like worms. That would be an problem, I reckon.
And because you can have that inside, can't you?
Yeah, you can. You can. They don't like getting too hot and they don't like getting too cold. So if you have a garage, that is perfect for them.
Very happy worms.
They're very happy worms. You can get them from wormup.ch.
Nice, nice.
And they're very good. Now, the method that's new to me is the Bokashi system. And I didn't know a lot about this until last week when I popped over to talk to a friend of mine, Edmund, about their system.
Yeah. Well, we'll be hearing from Edmund in a little bit.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Talking about composting this morning with Hester McDonald. Hester, you started to talk about a different method of composting. We were looking at hot bin composting, very compact, I will just say. Got one of those myself. Been using it for a while. We also looked at worms, but what on earth is Bokashi composting?
Bokashi is a Japanese method, and I had always thought it was a bit fiddly and not for me until I went round to a friend of mine, Ed's house, and asked him about it.
Is a Japanese system for composting food, and how it does it is through the enzymes in the box, and the enzymes come together as a kit. What you do is you put a little bit of enzymes and then you add your compost, and you as you add your compost you can add a little bit of enzymes as you go. We usually do 2 days of composts, enzymes, 2 days of compost, enzymes. It takes about 2 weeks to fill the box.
So what are you allowed to put in it?
What you can put in it is fruits and vegetables, citrus and banana peels, small portions of fish, yogurt, cheese, eggs, small bones, bread, coffee grounds, tea bags, and flowers. I don't bother putting any sort of cooked food in mine. And you don't want to put any liquids like water, milk, juice, vinegar, oil, nor do you want to put in paper, plastic, large bones, ash, or animal feces.
Okay.
So this can go bad. Okay. So if you get some black mold in it, that's not good. And after 2 years, I've never had a problem with any sort of mold, as long as you keep my strategy of a couple of days of compost and a little bit of enzymes.
So it's a plastic box with magic in it, as far as I can see.
Correct. The key to the Bokashi system is, as it's composting, it will create liquid at the bottom.
To
drain
tap.
The liquid every, in my case, after a week, every couple of days. In our case, with a family of three, I fill the box once every 2 weeks. If you buy the package like we did, it came with two boxes and the enzymes. And so what you do is you fill it up, which is perfect for us, 2 weeks. And then you're supposed to let it sit for 2 weeks. And then I use the second box and fill that one up. So when that one's full, I take the other box and you bury it into the ground.
Wow.
And they say after 4 to 6 weeks, it's good to go. It's compost. But where you bury it is important, because where you bury it is still very acidic, because the enzymes sort of pickle the compost. So where you bury it, you don't want to do it around any bushes or plants, because it will kill the roots.
Unbelievable. It's the most simple composting system I think I've ever seen. Brilliant.
It's fantastic because it doesn't smell.
Yeah, there's really nothing, is there?
And for a family of three, this whole 2 weeks, fill the bucket 2 weeks, let it ferment, and then bury it, and rotating the boxes works perfectly for a family of three or four.
So it sounds like you need some kind of special enzyme that goes in
this one.
Yeah, it
comes in the kit, and you can buy them online. You can buy them in lots of places, actually. Now I've started looking.
So are there any things that we need to be aware of with this? It sounds great, but are there any potential minefields to get through on this?
The burying it in the garden thing? That's a faff. But if you have a green bin, you can put the fermented compost in that.
Okay.
The communes are quite happy to take that.
I'm getting a few questions coming in, Hester. Are you ready to tackle a few listener questions? Okay. Got one from Ben that's come in saying, I'd like to start composting as my kids love bugs.
Cool.
Love it, Ben. And being in the garden, it would be good to reduce what we throw away into the garbage. We're away a lot at weekends and in the summer. Do you have any recommendations on systems that would suit us?
I'd say worms if you have a house sitter. So worms can manage without you for a weekend. They can't manage without you for weeks because they'll die. Actually, what happens in the summer, they'll escape, go off in search of food
Oh, because you aren't feeding them.
Because you're not feeding
so
them.
So the worms aren't contained actually in this.
No,
they're just very
get
happy.
Out. They're no, just... They'll just work their way up the compost and leave.
They're just so happy in the compost normally.
Yeah, because you're providing them with food and a house. I mean, I wouldn't leave either.
Okay, I didn't realise that they could actually just get out and crawl across your garage
yeah,
or your
do.
Kitchen.
That's why people don't like them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So if you've got a house sitter, Ace, you can just, you know, chuck food in them. If not, I'd say a regular bin in the garden would be absolutely fab, mm-hmm. particularly ideally one with a lid, and then you can have a good look inside it. If not, Bokashi works super well because then you can stop and start it. If you don't...
Very nice.
If you're away for a weekend, doesn't matter. You just squash the stuff down, put the lid on, leave it. And if you're away for, say, 4 weeks and there's something, you just don't compost during that period. It's fine.
Amazing. We've also got a question that's come in from Pam saying, we've got a huge garden with a lot of lawn and trees. We have a robot mower for the lawn, so we're not making grass clippings anymore. Oh, because it sort of just shoots it out the side, right?
Yeah, just...
Are we better having a separate leaf bin for the leaves?
That's a really good question. We haven't talked about leaf bins, actually. And leaf bins are great. So they do pretty much what they say on the tin. It's a usually open-sided mesh, sometimes with a plastic liner in it. You can also actually just stuff them into bin bags, stab holes in the bin bags, water them, and they'll be turned into beautiful, beautiful leaf mould by the following spring, which is ace. They are really good. It's a great soil conditioner, leaf mould. And I would say leaf bins, I have four in my garden because we have a lot of deciduous trees and we just throw everything into the leaf bin, and by the following year it's leaf mould. So awesome.
I can imagine as a garden designer you've got a lot of leaves.
Yes,
and
a lot of
everywhere.
Leaves. Yeah.
One last one. Matt says, can we put rhubarb leaves in our compost?
That's a great question. So yes is the answer. So the reason you might not want to.
Yeah,
is
why is he asking this question?
Because leaves are toxic to people. Mm. They've got oxalic acid in them and it can cause fairly serious kidney issues.
Yeah,
not good. The stems are completely fine, and the oxalic acid builds up mostly from June onwards, but you can, and the oxalic acid, which would be the problematic thing, biodegrades quite happily in the compost. I actually have another question which come into my phone from Sam, who wants to know, can we put cat poo?
Good question.
So I would say no, because of any animal poop, actually. E. coli, toxoplasmosis, tapeworms.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're going to put it on edible foods.
If you're going to make your veggies.
If you're going to put it in your veggies. If you're just going to put it on your shrubs and or you're going to bury it and or... you know it's going to be really hot, like in a hot bin, then yes, maybe. However, hot bin actually specifically say, because I checked this for a client question a couple of weeks ago, they say most cat litters, which is where you're going to probably get it from, are too granular. The granularity, the pieces are too small and it might block the air vents and then the whole thing stops working.
I see. There's a good reason to not do it on any of those.
So I say no, sorry,
no.
I think.
Okay.
Ick.
Maybe you could just... bury it if you're really looking for something that's a lot more friendly than chucking it in the bin.
In a plastic bag in a bin. I know, it's terrible.
Yeah, true.
Tricky. Sorry, Sam.
All right, keep those questions coming in. studio@worldradio.ch.
Bigot, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, I got a question from Paul, which is, I think, a very valid one about composting. Are you ready?
Okay.
Paul asks, how do I hide the bins, though? They're not pretty. In fact, he says they're an eyesore. I said they're not pretty.
Yeah, hashtag he's not wrong.
Yeah.
I'd say. Yeah, it's a very tricky one. So you also have the debate between, like, how close to your boundary is it? Like, are your neighbours going to complain about it? Because some neighbours really don't like seeing compost, even if they don't smell. Are they going to be sheltered by trees? Are they going to be in the sun? Because sunny ones will heat up much, much faster, but also will dry out faster. You need to water them a bit more
You've also got to weigh up how far you're going to want to run from your kitchen door if you've got a kitchen door or your front door.
True.
With, like, you know,
with
just
your little
with your slippers
pail.
On. With your pail of goo.
Squishy stuff,
To tip it all out. Like, you don't actually want it to be at the very, very back of your garden, as far away from the house as possible. You kind of want it to be as convenient as possible for lobbing the stuff in, or else you're just not going to use it.
Yes, that's very true. And if, like me, you've got several different bins at different stages of composition, decomposition, you don't want to look at them either because they're not lovely.
No.
Really. So mine are sneakily hidden between shrubberies.
Oh, really? You've actually kind of designed them in somehow between shrubs.
Tucked them in behind places. And it also means that when I kind of lift up the whole thing and tip it out, I'm just tipping it out onto bare soil. I'm not annoying anything else and I'm not making a mess because it's already just soil. And then anything that's not decomposed, I just chuck it back in the bin again.
Hester, this is why we need you to design our garden.
Yeah, actually, I have a question from a new client this week. One of the big challenges is where to put her green bins because they're right by the front gate and it's a really pretty front gate. There's two bright green bins by it.
Okay.
It's not lovely.
And what's the answer to this? So
we're actually going to make a little bin cubby hidden, actually a bit in some shrubbery. Mm-hmm. So you can't see it as you come in or you go out, but it's really convenient. However, you do still have, in their case, they're going to have to almost go right round the house to where the bin is. So in fact, the bin's going to live closer to the garage and then be tucked in there.
I see. So we're working around. These are the kinds of things when planning a garden. I just want to do a shout out for, first of all, you, of course. You do garden design.
I do garden design.
Also Shilliger Garden Centre.
They do. And they can build them for you as well.
I mean, when you work with plants, I know that you take a lot of your plants from Shilliger Garden Centre,
I do.
Don't you? You really kind of work
quite
together.
Often, yes.
Very much so. So if you're looking for garden design, Shilliger Paysage is the service that
that's
they
right.
have. And that's all the kind of landscaping side of Shilliger. If you are thinking of redesigning your garden, then they have everything in there that you might need to do, and they can do a consultation, etc., as well as Hester,
indeed.
Of course.
Indeed.
What about different resources then? If you're looking at kind of some more inspiration for better composting, I'm not imagining that you're going to have coffee table books for me this week. Like, often you come in with coffee table books,
not
really nice
week.
Plant no. design.
No, for once, no, we don't have any coffee table books. I would look at Garden Organics. It used to be called the Henry Doubleday Research Association, and it was really one of the very first organic gardening associations in the UK. It's very old, and they've rebranded themselves Garden Organic, a little bit catchier, and they have a wealth of information on their site, not just about composting, but lots and lots of other topics, rainwater collection, all kinds of things. And I think it's a really, really good resource. I'd also look at the Royal Horticultural Society or Gardener's World for that kind of thing. In terms of courses, there are a lot, actually. So I would look at the Compost Forum, starts with a K, mostly in the Swiss German part, but they do have a few in and around Lausanne on Compagnie Digestive. .ch, it's a great name. I would also look on EduCompost. I would ask at your mairie, ask at your commune. There are very frequently, fairly regular how to get composting courses run locally. I would also look at, if you're lucky enough to have any permaculture or allotment people close to where you are, either in your commune or nearby, pop by or have a look at them up online. They very, very frequently have good composting courses and just practical hands-on, exactly what you need to know, quite often free or a very minimal cost, you know, sort of 50 francs type thing. And it will just give you enough information to get going by yourself and feel confident with it.
Love it. Hester, thanks very much for giving us a lot of inspiration for composting this morning. I really appreciate it. If anyone would like to listen again, you can find this podcast up on our website. You will be able to a little later on today at worldradio.ch/digit. Thanks, Hester.
Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.